Oh, grab your chairs. Thank Jesus for the gospel, huh? Yeah, you wouldn't have clapped 28 years ago. You'd have ministered to me, tried to get me to the altar for sure. And I probably wouldn't have wanted to. Oh, my goodness. I'm having a very emotional morning. I usually do when I'm here, and you guys do your best to accomplish that before I get up here. No, I mean, it's funny. A guy that doesn't even own a computer to this day, have no interest. I'd rather be in the woods. I'm coming across a lot, and a man I don't know stops me and says, hey, I just want you to know I was listening to you on YouTube, and I just began to weep. And I realized I haven't talked to my ex-wife for two and a half years, and I thought, I need to call. He said, I called. She answered on the first ring, and we've been connecting ever since. And it's just, that's beautiful. Because there's decisions you make that if you knew the truth, you wouldn't have made the decision. There's things you do that if you look back, if you'd have saw something different, you'd have responded different. And God's a redeemer. And then I come a little farther and I'm going to embarrass you maybe, but maybe not. Look at you. Cheyenne, you just blessed me, girl. And is it Ann or Anna? Anna, stand up, you two. It's a mom and a daughter and there's a friend there. Stand up, mama. They're from Philadelphia. So they were here last night and they were sitting right here. And Cheyenne was just, she caught me. She's like, I'm ministering and preaching. And I got a little excited a couple times, a little loud. But she's just sitting there like, and she's just hanging on every word. I'm like, look at this precious girl. You can just see when somebody's soaking it in. They came by. I said, hey, good to see you all again. And it was like a little reunion, even though I didn't get to meet them last night. She said, I just want to thank you. I was listening to YouTube a month ago, and I got born again. And I'm like, man. And her friend's born again. And then she said, and mom said, and I just want to thank you for just giving yourself to Jesus and sharing these things because we haven't had relationship for 10 years. And Cheyenne said, suicide, anxiety, depression, stuff just blew her life up. Just blew her life up and they couldn't. And now she's saved and her and mom are back together. They're in from Philly to church today. And I don't know about you, but that's good. And I'm like, I said, did you get baptized? I was ready to drown the girl, man, like right now. Like bubble stop, dead, get up alive. I was ready to drown her. I said, did you get baptized? She said, I did. And she's so excited. So God bless you. Let's stretch your hands to them and let's just bless them. Father, we thank you for what they're doing in their lives, in their family. We thank you. This is just the beginning of the multiplication of your love, your life, and your spirit in them, God, and in all that they love. Lord God, I thank you that you expand their spheres of influence and you continue to reveal the goodness and glory of who you are in and through their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So I know this could sound weird a little about me, but I think it has more to do with the message of you want to live true to convictions and truth. You want to leave a mark. You want at the end of your journey that your life actually mattered and you didn't just try to live it. So I'm worshiping and I look up little Miranda. I don't want to embarrass people, but she's there. Just the first time I met Miranda, I think she was 9. We were in the old building. When did we do that 5-day thing? It was a 5-day thing. Homer was leading it. It was like 5 days. And you asked if I would do that. And I said, okay. And I came and she was the first one I think I met. I came early and there's the old building. It was like pews there. She was walking on the pew. She was 8 or 9 and she walked out on the pew and she went. And I go down and I said, well, hey, honey. I said, can I hug you? And she's like, I said, do you do this all the time? And I'm like, oh. Well, we're during worship. I mean, I'm standing with pastor. He's got handhelds there. I don't like handhelds. Handhelds are there. And Homer's leading worship. And we're like into one song of a 5-day deal. You know, you think you want to just ramp it up and boom, and go for it. And I said to pastor, we're like in the first song. I had this vision, Jesus heart. I had all this stuff going. And I said, can I have a handheld? He said, do you have some? I said, I have some. And And I remember I said about Jesus in the heart, and somebody just found out they had this condition in the last 24 hours. Randy is in the sound booth. I don't know who he is. He is just bawling. And this little girl touched my heart. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. And I was emotional. And I said, I need you to stand up because I'm telling you, I have your heart. I was going like this. I said, I have your heart. And I want to give it to you. It's from the Lord. He's giving you a new one. And mama stood up and I took it personal. I said, that little girl's mama? No way. She's getting this heart. And all of a sudden she stood up, her daughter. And I said, your little girl. She said, and I'm like, I think I threw the heart. I think I threw it. And I just fell on the ground, down on my knees and cried, and she got healed. And the condition changed like right now. And I was just reminiscing and thinking about that. And God was doing something to me today. I was in Easter Sunday all morning. Like, is it okay if we're still stuck in Easter? Like the rest of our lives? Yes. Like this morning, I was just stuck on Easter Sunday. I was just thinking about what Easter means to us and how that should be something that's so vibrant and exciting every day of our lives. And because it's every day, you'll have fruitfulness. So here's what happened to me. The reason I saw that, I saw the Lord. He was tracking my life. It was personal. I'm just sharing it with you. You want this in your life because in this, the Father's well pleased that you bear much fruit and that your fruit remain. So here's a little 9-year-old. Boom. God marks people along the way. We're sowing. We're watering. Kingdom of God's if a man scattering seed. But God, He gives the increase. And then she's up there singing, so anointed. You've got to be proud, parents. Like she's, especially you, you're so gifted. You're so musical. And then you see your little girl and she's just all about singing to Jesus, right? And I'm looking at that and I'm like, Lord, don't do this. And I remembered my brother came for the first time and he was overwhelmed and crying. He had had an encounter with God and he sought the Lord and the Lord met him and he was sitting with me and he's looking around and he tapped me and said, man, I hear you share stories and things. I'm watching you on YouTube and stuff. It's funny. My brothers watch me on YouTube. And he said, you probably got testimonies walking around right in this room. Do you remember this, Tammy? I called you over. I said, hey, you come here. I said, tell him your story. This is my brother's. He said, oh, hi. And because she had neurological Lyme and didn't want to get pregnant. And now she has no Lyme. She's got 2 children. And then I said, come here. And I called another person. My brother's sitting there going, ooh. I said, you just want to live Jesus. And what happened was those testimonies are from a long time ago. But I walked across the lot today. Pastor Don's coming on me. Whoa, how do you do it? I don't know how you do it. Yeah, if I wasn't in covenant, I'd pull a hammy. And I was like, but I'm in covenant. I'm good, brother. I'm good. And it was just the Lord was just showing me the impact of what He'll do if we'll stay in relationship with Him and won't compromise and won't back off and violate our conscience and live in a lie and get issues and let other things matter more. And we're not just here to live our life. We're here to live our life in Him. You're not here to get by. You're not here for Him to make things work for you. He wants to work through you. I'm running a thin line here. I'm a little nervous because it feels like I'm talking about me. So I'm a little nervous. So I'm trusting this to work out. And just know the reason I'm ready to cry, that's not in my heart. But I was 9 months saved and listened to a teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and realized that in 9 months being saved, every gift, all 9 gifts flowed through my life already. But I didn't know how to find them in the Bible. I didn't know how to teach them. It wasn't a message to me. I didn't even have a name for them. I just realized when I listened to the teaching that all those things came out of my life. There's somewhere I'm going with this. It wasn't because I went to a ministry school. It wasn't because I just read my Bible 3 times or 3 years in a row, once a year. It wasn't because anybody laid hands on me. It's because Holy Spirit led me to a place of surrendering my life and being with Him. And the goal of being with Him was to become more like Him, to love, to see the value of people, so that faith could work through love, not ministry. So faith could work through love, not need. And it's just amazing to me. God was just doing something personal. I felt okay to share it. I think that was like early 2000 when I came here and right? It was like real early 2000. And we're in 22. That's old testimony, but it's so fresh. Because I'm watching this little girl. I don't even know how old she is now. But here she is just playing and singing, and it's amazing. And today a man said, I called her. She answered. We're in touch. A young girl said a month ago, I listened, got born again. I had so many testimonies from men this week that came that said, man, you've so influenced, impacted my life. Guys, I don't know if we understand the privilege we have of being in fellowship and relationship with God. And if we just say and pawn it off and say, well, it's gifting. Well, you're called. We're all called. We're all called. You might not have the platform I have. You might not have somebody plastering everything you say on YouTube. And don't do it yourself. That can be weird. So I have a different platform. But we can all have that relationship. And we can all let that matter most. To where when you're all alone, you know Him. When you look in the mirror, you're not compromised. You're not harboring things in your heart that you know are never in His. Come on, this isn't harsh. It's protective, it's healthy, and it's powerful. Because I've never seen anybody with issues bear fruit to God. I'm just being real. I've never seen anybody with hang-ups, unresolved conflicts, shine. Just needed ministry. They just needed ministry. They need ministry instead of minister. And I'm not being mean. I'm saying the just live by faith. There's a place we got to continue to just get before Him and be with Him, and don't fail to be with Him. Don't fail to believe He loves you. A young lady, I don't know if she's here. I wouldn't point her out. I don't want to embarrass her. She was here last night. She might be here. I'm looking down at the floor. She came up to me. She's so sweet. You can see Jesus in her face. You can see her sincerity when you look at her. You know what I mean? You look at somebody, you can tell their heart's pure. It's like, whoa, because, yeah, I don't ever want, I said, Lord, don't show me the heart unless I see the pure, because I don't want to be the one to say, I don't think their heart's pure. So, but I looked at her and was like, no brainer, whoa, what a sweetheart. And she said, you know, I would get alone with the Lord and I would feel Him and feel His presence. And I had this encounter with God, but it hasn't happened for about 8 months or so. And she said, every time I get alone now, I just feel like He's angry. And I kind of laughed and said, that's impossible. And I said, you did something, violated your conscience, and then you believed He was angry. And when you believed He was angry, you got in the room and you had the experience of what you believed. And now 8 months later, you're convinced He's angry and it's trying to be a stronghold to keep you from where your heart desires. I said, honey, He sent His Son while you were yet a sinner. He reconciled you through the death of His Son while you were yet an enemy to God. How much more will you be saved from wrath now that He lives? She's so precious. She says, so it can't be true. Can't possibly be true. I said, because even if you miss it, your heart doesn't want to miss it. So your conviction will bring you back to Him. Your conviction to bring. But Satan wants you to believe other things about God and hinder what you're created for. So you're not created for ministry. You're not created just to be a spouse or a parent. You're created to be in fellowship with God and be found in the image of God. Satan wants to separate us from what we're here for. He'd care less if we do church, I promise you. I believe this with a passion. Satan could care less if we do church. He could care less if we stay here all day and call it amazing. He cares when you walk in love. He cares when you show mercy and make peace. He cares when you shine like a light. He cares when you're done wrong and you don't live like you've been done wrong. That's when He cares. That's when you get the attention of the enemy, not when you wave a banner and sing loud. He's seen that for generations. He's seen us singing loud for generations of waving banners. and hating on each other when nobody's looking, fighting over where we're going to eat. I mean, fighting. He could care less if we're doing church. He cares if we are her. And the reason I shared some of these testimonies and told you some of these stories is because I believe what God's saying is, and I shared it with the men, and it's just big on my heart, but it's this Easter weekend mentality, like, so did he come to just forgive me so my name gets written in a book of life? Did he come just so I can be forgiven because I'm a sinner? Of course, that's part of why he came, but it's a way deeper, bigger, more personal, amazing reason. He came so we could be restored back to the relationship we're to have with the Father. The reason Jesus died on the cross scripturally is to get us back to the Father. We've made it all about getting blessed, getting provided for, getting protected. And then if that list isn't fulfilled in our life, we have questions and wonder where he is or what I'm doing wrong. You're not saved for you. You're saved for the glory of his great name. You're saved for his glory. You're saved for him. And imagine how much he wants us. Like, Jesus did more than inconvenience to me, but somehow I realized it wasn't an inconvenience to him. He's God. He's the Son of God. He's one that always is. He was, he is, he is to come. We can't even really express the glory of who he is, except the scripture tells us we write it all out in the names of God, and it's amazing. It's like, whoa, and you can get it really, and you can add music to it. It'll put you on your face. Right? That Jesus said, I'll go and put myself in the womb of a woman and put on a body and put on flesh. I'll fulfill what man failed so I can restore personally through my blood, through my sacrifice, this relationship, Father, that you've always desired with man. I just don't know that we totally get that. I think we've been so tricked into blessing, so tricked into God doing something for me instead of restoring me back to him. And then when we do get an idea of that, there's attack after attack in our mind and our emotions. Well, I just feel bad. Well, I just feel bad. Do you know how many people I've heard say, well, I just feel bad? Okay. So when do you change that? Like, just feel bad? Okay. So you just feel bad. That means your heart goes, argh. Okay. You wish you didn't. Okay. So godly sorrow is the answer. Not just feeling bad. Wow. If I saw what I see now, I wouldn't have did what I did then. Wow. I see how it affected God's will, plan, purpose, kingdom, others. Oh God, thanks for doing a work in me and changing me, man. Cause just saying I feel bad. Well, you don't have fellowship with God. No, I just feel bad. Guys, I'm not being cynical. That's not an answer. I've never seen anybody just feeling bad produce the fruit of heaven. But I can show you in scripture where godly sorrow leads to repentance. Repentance is a vindication of yourself. It's an indignation towards the lie. There's a zeal. There's a vehement desire. Yeah? I'm just encouraging you in this morning. That Jesus came, we celebrated it last week, we ought to celebrate it every day. Like he put himself in the womb of a woman. I've been saved 27 years and I can't stop thinking about this, and I talk about it a lot, and people might think, boy, you said that over and over. Yeah, it just fascinates me that God would put himself in the womb of a woman and come through her vaginal canal and suck on her breasts and wear swaddling clothes, not huggies with tape. And have to eat and go to the bathroom and sweat. To pay the full price necessary to get us back to the Father. And then we sell it so cheap and preach to be forgiven and go to heaven when we die. I'm just telling you that is not the highest goal. The highest goal is restoration back to the Father. And when you're restored back to the Father, of course everlasting life is in the picture because he's eternal. Eternal life is a piece of the package. And I'm happy about it and I'm not against it. But relationship with the Father is the goal. He said, I am the way. Not a way. Not a good idea. I am the way. That's one way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say no one comes to heaven. He's way more personal. I feel like the Spirit of God in me this morning is inviting you into being personal with God like you've never been personal before. I mean, I feel tears on it. I'm not going to pull that card on you. I'll do my best. I just feel like God, He loves us. I'm not talking to a room of hypocrites. I'm not talking to people that are failing. I just feel the invite of God saying, would you come and know me more? Don't just pray your list to me. Come and be with me. Some of the only union we have with God is our list of needs. And then we'll stay self-conscious and we're in turmoil and we're always weighing the inventory of how our list was met, what was moved and wasn't moved. We add more prayer to this and we get to an agreement on this. And yet we might never even receive His love or commune with Him or let His heart overtake ours. I hope I'm making sense this morning. I just feel this passionate invite. Like Jesus came and gave His life. He's totally, totally innocent. He said, no man is going to take my life. I'm going to freely lay it down and give it. No man's taken my life. I think, you know, I don't do this much. My wife doesn't do this to me much, but I can relate to it in my life. Like if she would call me and say, hey, where are you at? Hey, I'm here. Can you swing by and grab this on your way home? Who knows that there's times where it's like, oh, sure. And you'll just do it. And there's times like you'll say, sure, you'll do it. It's your wife. You'll do it. But you're thinking you really don't want to do it. Or you were wishing you were getting home because you're ready to just be home. And it's like, of course I'll do it, but I really don't want to do it. And in your heart, you're kind of inconvenienced. But you don't express that and you don't say that, but you feel inconvenienced. And we're just talking about stopping the store and grabbing something. Jesus, Son of God, who was and is to come, who always will be, who nothing was made that wasn't made through Him, came and put Himself in the womb of a woman and was born, had to hang out for 30 years on this earth before He could even step in and be announced. It fascinates me. It just fascinates me that He did that. Let's not turn this into an Easter story or an Easter weekend or the outcome of Christmas morning. This is designed to grab us and change our lives forever and actually show us who we really are. Because Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen Him. You can't say you don't know the Father. You've seen me. Philip, how can you even say to me, show us the Father? Have I been with you so long you don't even realize? When you've seen me, you've already seen Him. Hands down, I am the spitting image of the Father. And that same Jesus told us to follow Him. And that He's the firstborn among many brethren. And that the things He does will do if we believe in even greater things because He goes to the Father. It's so relational. You don't have time to be condemned. You don't have time to backslide. You never did. Front slide. So hard. People say I backslide. I think people that backslide never front slid. Cross home plate. Slide in, safe. Yeah? Oh, it's so good. You're not out, you're safe. Slide home. Slide home. And never look back. Are you with me? Come on, this is why He died. This is why He came. I know we got to walk through stuff. I know we don't always get everything right, but your heart can be right. I haven't been perfect in the 27 years of my life. I know you think so. I haven't been perfect. But man, who knows I want to be. Who knows I'll be as perfect as grace will let me. Who knows I'll make sure I'm presentable and willing and available. I'm not going to let human reasoning talk me out of what grace says I can be. I'm not going to let our human experience limit grace. I'm not going to let people say, well, yeah, but nobody can really. Don't tell me nobody can really when Jesus said, follow me. How do you know? Did you lay down the gauntlet and run through it? Did you go after God? Have you surrendered completely? Why are we always quick to say what we can and can't be? When Jesus said, follow me. Yeah, well, brother, I knew some amazing men of God, and they still, and ba ba da ba doo ba da. Sound like a Fred Flintstone cartoon. I think we talk ourselves out of what grace says is possible. I think we let our own human experience rise above his ability in our lives. And then we fail to give him true glory. And it's still a twisted form of self-centeredness. Isn't it? It's a twisted form of pride, because you know what pride does? Pride resists. Grace receives. Sometimes people are amazing receivers and we call it pride. Who do you think you are? Maybe they know. Well, you shouldn't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just saying what he says. Maybe they're just putting on the clothes that fit them. Maybe they took off the rags that don't look good. Some of us, man, I shared with the men, I said, look at it as clothes. Some of us been wearing stuff. It's way too tight. It's way too big. Colors don't match. And that's why you don't look good in what you believe you are. You need to take that nasty stuff off and put on that handcrafted robe. I look so good in my dress. You ought to see me. I look good. If you could see in the spirit, I look good in my robe to him. I'm white. I'm clean, I'm spotless, I'm blameless, I'm holy, and I'm pure in his sight. I found that in my Bible, you can't talk me out of it. There's no theologian who'll ever talk me out of that. You can call me proudful for the rest of my life, but I'm going to be in the bedroom, in that place, knowing that's true. And I'm going to have the Mirandas and the Tammies and the Man and the Cheyennes all the way through. Because I ain't going to see nothing else. You're talking 20-some years. I bet it's piling up. I bet the fruit's piling up. Oh! Probably not change that now, huh? Probably now ain't the time to get offended. Self-focused. He said about hunting and fishing. I hunt and fish a lot. I really do. But I love Jesus and I minister Jesus a lot. I pray for people with boat ramps. I've prayed for people in boats. I've prayed for people on the trails. I prayed for a man last year turkey hunting because I shot the turkey and he couldn't hear it gobble and I felt bad for him. I said, this turkey went ahead, gave his life for the gospel. and you couldn't even hear his gobble. He down the trail. He said, well, that thing never gobbled. I said, never gobbled. He gobbled off his rocker. I thought he was going to go hoarse. And he said, what? He said, see, that's just my ears. Man, I just don't hear like I used to. He said, I'm going to have to quit turkey hunting soon. I think they're out here gobbling. I ain't even hearing them. I said, what? I said, listen, man, it's just you and me way back here 2 miles from our car. You got to let me pray for your ears. Huh? Don't say no, man, because I'd have tackled him. He was older than me. I could have took him. I took you. I forced him. Now, if it was you on that trail, buddy, I'd have had to get a kind yes from you. He was so touched by the fact that I would pray. But see, I'm not on a platform when I'm 2 miles on the trail. It's just me and him. And I don't even share most of these testimonies ever from the platform, because I don't ever want it to be about just me and how I'm living. And well, yeah, but it's an example, brother. Yeah, but then people look to you and they make you something gifted, anointed, called. That's what you all are. That's what I'm up here for. My job is to empower you for the work of ministry and say, hey, we're all in. We're all gifted. We're all called. We're all anointed. We might have a little different sphere of influence. You might not have the same platforms. We can all walk in love and you can all hear the man that can't hear and say, hey, can I pray for you? Every one of us can do that if we're willing. That man looked at me. He couldn't believe I would pray for him way out on that trail. He said, "You pray." I said, listen, man, I'm going to be straight with you. You heard how quick I offered to pray for you? Jesus changed my life in 1995. And dude, I ain't playing. He's real. I'm in camo on a trail 2 miles from my truck. And as soon as I heard you couldn't hear, what did I say? You said, can I pray? Because it's real. And I've seen God do stuff. Why don't we just get it on? Let me pray for you. He said, okay. It's bad we couldn't use the turkey to test because the turkey was dead. Yeah, I got my turkey. But I prayed with him. I tell you what, it touched him. I mean, this old fella, I was way back in, coming around the corner, and I seen this old boy back there. He looked old enough to be daddy, and I was getting up there to where I was already a grandpa. And I said, well, hey, man, you're way back in. What? He said, oh, if I don't get moving early, I feel like I ain't going to move. He said, I'm just out here trying to keep my body going. It feels like it wants to seize up. I guess it's arthritis. And I said, oh, my goodness, can I pray for you? He said, excuse me? I want to pray for you. He couldn't believe it. I shared my story, my testimony. He got so touched. He let me lay hands on him. We just felt the power of God just flow down through him. He said, that's amazing. That's the Lord. I said, yeah, that's the Lord. I was just taking a walk, I guess. Why are you out there taking a walk when the whole world's going to hell? You should be out there evangelizing on the street with a bullhorn. Leave me alone. Leave me alone, just taking a walk, enjoying my life in God. Man turns the corner. That man might not have been where I was with a bullhorn, but he was on that corner. You could be somewhere where I'm not, and I'd be somewhere you're not, and together we could cover this earth. Yeah? I tell people all the time, I feel like I've lived three men's lives. I hunt and fish. I make the most. I don't even. John just said, buddy, he said, I've been tired just listening to you preach and watching you all weekend. Do I come across tired to you today? They worked me like a mule this week. I said, I done plowed ground. I sowed seed. I watered. I did it all. I'm supposed to have help from the body. Some sow, some water. Not this weekend. He said, you are a mule. I did Friday, Saturday afternoon, morning, afternoon, question and answer. Drove home, changed my shirt, rinsed out my underarms, put on a new shirt, hugged my wife, and shot back to church for the evening. So wound up last night, I sat on bed in the bed and laid in bed. When I looked at the clock, it was still 1 o'clock. I woke up at 5:02. I ain't been back to sleep since. You can tell, can't you? I'm just so wore down. I feel like I've lived three men's lives. I cry about it. I say, God, I feel like I lived three men's lives. The enjoyment I've had in God's creation, the outdoors, the stuff I've accomplished in that, the success I've had, the things I've done, the time I've been given to do that, and in the midst of it, living Him all along the way. Never just hunting, never just fishing. You pump gas and you love on somebody on your way fishing. You in the Bass Pro. I could tell you a lot of stories from Bass Pro. I won't bother. I'm not going to minister. I'm going to buy a plug or a pack of good baits. But man, there's people at Bass Pro. And it's amazing. I remember going to Bass Pro, going up the steps. I went in the back door. I didn't know why I went in that door. I said, why did I go in this door? Because I thought, I come in the wrong door. No, I didn't. See, it's not always spooky. This precious lady was coming down the steps with her daughter, and I walked by her, and it sounded so weird and off the wall. I come up the steps, and I just made contact. I said, oh, my goodness, ma'am. I just felt the overwhelming love of God for you. Well, that sounds flaky. Call the police. Get this guy. Like, that sounds weird. I said, oh, my goodness, girl, I just felt the overwhelming love of God for you. She said, what? I said, God's love for you. I said, oh, I see it now. When you woke up this morning, you were overwhelmed by this, and you were thinking this, and you said to your daughter this. It just came out of me in sentences, and they went, and they're like, what? Did you hear this man? They were talking about, did you hear this? Did you hear what this man? What? And I'm like, honey, it's Jesus. He knows everything. He's heard you cry. We just need to pray. Oh. It was fun. I was just going to buy a plug that I was hoping was in stock. I didn't call first. Feel like I've lived three men's lives. I'm not boasting today. I'm inviting you into a life that we're called to live through what He paid. It's relational. You can't live what he paid for unless you have relationship with the Father. Because you got to be able to say, when you see me, you've seen him. Now, we're all growing in that. I'm not saying that. I'm growing in that. But that's a goal. Christ in who? You. See, I can preach that because it's scripture. Christ in who? Come on, I'm preaching at you. Christ in is the hope. Not a hope. The hope of glory. That word glory means the made seen, realized manifestation of God. The Christ in you is the hope of your life making God seen and known and realized. How are you going to walk in that power if you don't receive and move and grow in that relationship? To where you know he loves you because of the cross, not because of how you feel and don't feel. That you know he loves you, not because of your performance and what you did wrong last week and that you still didn't get over and you haven't forgiven yourself. Are you with me? What we celebrated last weekend, and I'm sure you guys had an awesome time here. What I believe we really celebrated last week, whether we realize it or not, is that God paid the price to invite you back in to him. Not into his book of life. Thank God our names are in the book of life. He mentioned that book to his disciples. And what he was saying is, don't get puffed up in the authority and make it about you because you told a demon what to do. He said, you rejoice that the reason this is happening is because your name's in the book of life. You're connected. That's where he makes the reference. But we've turned that into a doctrine. That the whole reason we're getting saved is to go to heaven. Jesus never ever said that. Jesus always made the reference back to the Father. He even said eternal life is knowing him. He said, God has given me these folks that I'm to give eternal life to, as many as he's given me. And this is eternal life. See, he didn't want it to be impersonal. He didn't want it to be a destination. He said, this is eternal life. Watch. Knowing him, the true God, right? Him. Why? Knowing the eternal one. This is eternal life. Being one with the eternal one is what he's saying. So when Cheyenne gets born again, you hear what she said? I got born again listening a month ago. Wouldn't you say it's important to know what you're getting born into? That she didn't just secure her destination, but she was invited back into relationship with Almighty God, where who he is can live through her and live in her. Who he is, how he is, what he is can all take place in her. That's how real this is. And Jesus thinks it's worth paying for, and he wasn't inconvenienced. Come on, we don't handle it well when we're not treated right. He was treated beyond not right. Like, there's no way to describe the injustice of Jesus getting beaten, whipped, and treated the way he was. I mean, he did miracle after miracle. Even when he multiplied the food, their hearts were so array, all they wanted was more food. They didn't care what he was saying. They didn't want the message. They wanted the blessing. They didn't want repentance. They just wanted the blessing. They just wanted their sick healed. They didn't want what he was saying. They wanted what he was doing. I preached on this. I don't even know when it was, because I preach a lot. I preach to my own heart all the time, so I might even been then. Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, Jesus said to the Pharisees in woe to you 7 times in Matthew 23. He said, all the righteous blood that's been shed from the righteous blood of Abel to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered in the temple. He's talking to a people and saying, you murdered him. And it was 700 years before. I'm thinking, how could they murder him 700 years before? So I looked up the story. And then I realized it's a mentality, it's a spirit, it's religion. And what he's saying is, if you were there then, you'd have done it too. And he said, so upon you comes the judgment of all the righteous blood that's ever been shed. What happened in the story is, Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, stood up on the altar, and they were all in the temple because it was time to be in the temple. And it wasn't enough for them to be in the temple. God was calling them to the altar. They stoned him between the porch and the altar. He cried out to repent and come and get right with God. They said, hey, pal, you ought to be glad we're just here. This is really what it boils down to if you read the story. Ain't nobody telling us what we need to do. You ought to be glad we're just here. They stoned him for his message. Now, I'm going to say something a little sharp. When you refuse to hear, it's no different than stoning someone for their message. If hate is murder, if lust is adultery, I guess the heart matters. So I get, when that man said, I cried and I called my wife for the first time in 2.5 years, she answered in the first ring. He said, thank you very much. You know what I said to him? If he would acknowledge it, you'll know I said this to him. I said, cause he's here somewhere. I said, thanks for hearing. I said, not everybody hears. Even though they know when they hear, but they don't hear. I said, sir, thank you for hearing. That's what I said to him. And I hugged him. I said, cause not everybody wants to hear. He who has ears to hear. See, some of us have animosity. Some of us have yell buts. Some of us have a lot of yell buts. And I said to him, thanks for hearing. I'm just calling you this, man. I'm inviting you this. Jesus is amazing. He's beyond description. All we have is earthly language. Jesus is beyond description. I mean, how do the angels, as I'm talking, yesterday, the day before, and tomorrow, they're just coasting around, holiest Lord. They're overwhelmed. They're not tired. They're not like, this is redundant. Does he still need us to say he's holy? No, they're holy. Ah, holy. They can't stop because they're with him. That God sent his son and put his son in a woman, and he lived 30 years before he even launched out. He launches out and men resist him, reject him, try to trick him and trap him in his words. He's so amazing. Jesus is so incredible. He doesn't change his tune. He doesn't back off. He holds some men accountable along the way. People think he was losing it and having a fallout when he flips the tables of the money changer. That's the one that people hit me with. Oh, well, you say Jesus isn't this. He was pretty mad when he flipped them tables. No, no, no. Not mad like you're relating to mad. You're relating to mad as if he's cutting people off, and don't want to talk to nobody, and don't want to see nobody. No, he died on the cross for everybody that was in that synagogue that day. He was showing zeal for his father's house, and he was making a bold statement that none of this stuff belongs here. He wasn't hating on men. Yeah? When he, woe to you, you scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. 7 times. He ain't mad at him. He's about to go to the cross. This thing's about to go down. This is last crack at these men. And he sees their hearts crystal clear. And he's crying out that one might repent. Woe to you. The conviction is so incredible. If you read the woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. You think you would just fall on your face and repent. But the heart is a puzzling thing. It says in the Bible that a lot of people believed him, but didn't acknowledge their belief because they feared the Pharisees and didn't want to get thrown out of the temple. Some believed, but they loved the praises of men rather than the praises of God. There was a lot going on in the heart, but they didn't let themselves go into what they were convicted by. And my Bible says when you know to do right and don't, it's sin. Why? Because it violates your conscience. Because you're the one that knows most that you know right. But you're not living it. And then you mess this up. And then you hinder this. And the whole time, he's the same. The whole time, he's the same Father God. So don't fall prey to this battle, this war. Ooh, I got so scared. I just thought about time. I thought, this is early service. I said, oh, because I know what time to, I have this anointing for time to just, like he never does the Joshua thing for me and backs it up. It's always fast forward. I panicked in my heart. I said, oh, time. I thought I was going to look up and it was like 11:10 or something. Please let the gospel mean so much more to you that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And Jesus is going to answer my prayers now. I might finally get that promotion. And if I get saved, maybe he'll bring my wife back. That's not why you come to him. You come to him so you can know him. And those that know their God, guess what they'll do? Great exploits. Those that know their God. Please don't violate your conscience, and if you do, run to him. Don't ever find yourself naked and ashamed, hiding from him. Don't ever draw back. Run towards him. Don't ever believe condemnation, guilt, and shame. Take accountability and responsibility for your convictions, but do that with Jesus. Run to him. Run to him. Work out your own salvation with an awesome reverence toward the person of God. Do all things without grumbling or complaining, so you can be seen as harmless, innocent children in the midst of a perverse, as Moeller translation, perverse, self-centered society, whom you, shining forth as a light, are holding forth the word of life. It's Philippians too. We have these great and precious promises, exceeding great and precious promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, by which through them we partake of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through self-centered seeking. 2 Peter 1. This thing has nothing to do with just changing destinations, really. It has to do with becoming one with God, and of course your destination will change. The goal and the motive and the carrot isn't heaven. It's knowing him. What good does it do to be positioned to go to heaven except for the individual that's going and not knowing the Father and following him and walking in love? How would the world benefit from your salvation if it was just your destination changing? Are you with me? Why do you think scripture says, if any man comes to me, let him deny himself? Don't let him come to me for himself. Let him come to me, deny himself. There's pastors, I don't have any in mind. I've just heard these sermons. I don't have any in mind. There's pastors that have stood on pulpits like this and made promises to people and brought them to God for what God will do for them. Instead of God, what God will turn them into and make them to be. Are you with me? You're not getting saved so your marriage gets healed. You're not getting saved so you have extra protection. You're not getting saved so your life goes better. Getting saved to become one with him because you were living estranged from him. And Jesus paid the price to make that possible. And I don't think he thought it was inconvenience, Roy. Do you know Isaiah 53 says, it's overwhelming. It pleased the Father to bruise his son. Can you even fathom that? It pleased the Father to bruise his son and cause his soul to grief when he made him an offering for sin. If that doesn't tell you how much he wants this relationship. In the Passion movie, they showed a tear drop into the puddle when Jesus was dying. I'm not being critical to the movie. I love the Passion. I have a DVD of it. It's good to watch it every other day. It's too gory. No, get a revelation. Get a grip. Stop it. It was worse. Well, it's just so sadistic. No, get real. Maybe it'll put some sobriety in you because he really paid that price. Make yourself watch it. Don't talk yourself out of it and say it's too gory. You ought to make yourself watch it. I wish we all had a revelation of what he paid. But they showed a tear dropping in the, and I don't see that in Scripture. What I see in Scripture is it pleased the Father to bruise the Son, which means it almost sounds like he was an inspiration behind the whole thing. Why? Because he's so wise and amazing and all-powerful, almighty God that he's going to raise him in the third day. And he just played the devil for who he is and what he does. He pulls back. Jesus said, have your way. It's the hour of darkness. Do what you wish. And God just pulled back. And Satan, steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Because every time, steal, kill, destroy. And he usually, when he kills, he wins. This time, when he kills, major loss. So you just back off. You let it be the hour of darkness. Steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Boom. Dead. People are remorsing. People are crying. People don't know what to make of it. This man's dead. Even the couple believers that were hanging around, all the women that were ministering to him, can't even imagine how devastated they were. I still believe they had to drag Mary out of the tomb to shut it. I just believe that. I believe she was clinging to him and they had to literally forcibly drag her out of that tomb. She wasn't ashamed. And on the third day, he raises Jesus from the dead, and the Bible says it's for your justification. Do we understand this stuff? He rose from the dead, not just so he could have the keys of death, hell, and grave, and be the name above every name, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for your justification. He never exalts Jesus. I know this, I'll get heat for this. It's okay. Crucify me. Write anything you want. It doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't. Watch. He never glorifies Jesus to the highest without mentioning his body. Every time he exalts Jesus in Scripture, we're right on the heels in the next verse. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go therefore. Ching. Take what's been given to me and walk in it and manifest it because you're my people. Amen. Yeah? Yeah? He's been given the name above every name. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. Heaven, earth, under the earth. That Jesus Christ is Lord. You therefore. Ain't that something? Okay, I got to stop. I just simply, all I did today was invite you into, even if you have what I'm talking about, have it more. Have it more. Don't compromise your conscience. Follow the Holy Ghost in your life. Keep your heart filled with the Word. Study, show yourself approved. Get the truth in you so you have a healthy barometer to gauge every lie, so you have a filtering system in your life. So the way that seemeth right to man can never just seemeth right. Yeah, because that's the trouble with the way that seemeth right to a man. It seemeth right. But if you fill your heart with the truth, that seemeth is so exposed. And it don't even seemeth right. It's like, what? Me and my buddy Todd used to do the, we'd sniff like little, like beagle hounds and stuff. We'd be like, we like, sniff that out. You sniff that out, brother. He'd say, we'd do like that. Because you hear somebody say something, you just, eh. So if you're talking to me and I start going, you better get nervous. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Listen, I know music's not playing. I know it's not an emotional scene. But if you're listening to what I'm saying and for some reason you're here and you're not saved, you're not born again like Cheyenne got born again. If you're not born again, I don't know how that happens, how people come on Sunday morning and not born again. I don't know if somebody compels them to come, drags them if they come as a favor. I don't know. Or you might just be coming because you're seeking or you're searching. But here's what I'm saying. They're going to open this baptismal tank in a little bit. We're doing water baptisms in about 15 minutes. Half hour. There's going to be people getting water baptized. It's beautiful. If you were never born again and never saved, make sure you get into that. Make sure you get to the back and you tell somebody, is there anybody? Let's just do it. We would celebrate with you anyway. Have you never been born again? Is there somebody that's never been born again in this room and you're saying, I want to get born again? I thought you got born again. Oh, you haven't been baptized. Oh, are you going to get baptized? Or are you going to, you want to do it today? She can do it today. Yeah. We'll do it. But you got born again, right? Okay. She just hasn't been baptized. First, as soon as she told me she was saved, I said, did you get baptized? I was ready to drown her. I'll drown you. I'm telling you. But I'm not going to get in there probably. But if it was me, I'd make sure every bubble stops. Because if you don't die, you can't live. You don't incorporate him into your life. He becomes your life. So many people have incorporated Jesus. They're living Jesus Incorporated. And it's not. You're not the CEO. It's Christ in you. Is there anybody? I actually feel like there's somebody. That's why I keep going back to it. Because I rarely have altar calls like this. You've never been born again? Do you have ever don't have a time in your life where you said, I give my life to you? Okay. You need that insurance publicly and you're ready. I get it. Nope. You're ready. I see it. That's beautiful. Stand to your feet. Let everybody see you and celebrate. Come on. Come on. Just stay there. Is there anybody else? No, you can just stay there. Just stand up for me. You're okay. You're good, man. We're happy for you. You don't be embarrassed. Anybody else? I need anybody else that never, ever, ever been born again. What's up? Oh, you never been baptized. Oh, we going to get some baptisms, brother, here. I opened the door. No, that's good. If you want, can we do this? Are we okay? We're set up for it, right? I mean, Neck Ministries put the thing in there. We're over in the old building. They're building the sanctuary. I ran over to Pastor. I said, Pastor, I just got a vision. We got to have a water baptism in the new sanctuary. We got to have it right on the platform so we're ready all the time. He said, man, we're so far over budget already, brother. I don't even, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and that sounds great. But I said, look, we'll cover it. Neck Ministries got it covered, man. Get the thing in there. And there it is. We covered it. I'm taking this over. All right. Did somebody else raise their hand and say they were never born again? You've never been born again? I'm so glad Neck Ministries paid for this thing. Yeah. Well, we got clothes, right? We got tons of clothes. We got tons of clothes. So we're going to water baptize you. I want to know, not baptized. I want to know who's not born again. You've never been born again? You just feel like you haven't given your life to him is what you're saying. When you're hearing me preach, you're convicted. You're saying, I want to live what he's saying. I haven't lived what he's saying. Is that true? Come on up here with me. Son, come on down here. Come on, honey. Yeah. Come on, right here. Is there anybody else? Come on, if you are not born again. I'm not even talking rededication. I'm just saying not born again. She's saying, you know, but I don't think I saw and understood what I see what I'm doing now. You get it. You willing to get baptized? We're going to drown you, girl. You, it's all right. It's 5 minutes under there. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. We're leaving you under extra. We're going to make sure everything about your old life is dead. This is what water baptism is. It's a place to die. It's death, burial, and resurrection. I hope you understand that. It's not just a church ordinance. It's symbolic. It's death, burial, and resurrection. So when you go under, you're dying in the likeness of his death. And you're dying to sin once and for all. It's Romans 6. Even as Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father, so shall you be raised to the newness of life. So you're going under and you're dying. And here's what you're doing. You're putting away everything under that water that you've ever done, ever been done to you, everything you've ever regretted, everything that's never been God. You put it under and you call it dead, and his mercy and goodness is so excited about that. So Holy Spirit's going to hover over the water, just like he did in Genesis when something didn't have form, the earth. And he's going to hover over and he's going to give you form and give you clarity and give you identity and give you destiny. He's just going to hover over the water. And when you come up out of the water, bam, he's coming on you and in you. A new man. A new man. Yeah. Come on, man. A new man. And he's going to even push away the fears, the regrets, and the stuff that's trying to lie to you. See, that's what's going on right here. But he's going to take it away. He's going to take it away. I promise you, he's going to take it away. Yeah. Thank you for causing him to see. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Come here, I just want to hug you. I just want to hug you. We're going to live. Yeah, you're going to live.
I want to do it with her as a husband.
You're going to do it with her as a husband? Listen, this is beautiful. Thank you for your humility. Because God's going to heal some things. Going to make some things new. Here's what I need from you guys. I need this consent and this confession. I know it's public, but we're not going to get crazy personal. Where you're both willing to say, you know what was, was. But we're both willing to call that dead. We're going to put it under. You're going to get baptized together? You open for that to get baptized together? As a couple, as a marriage?
Yeah.
Poosh, come up sanctified and new? Yeah? So here's the deal. We're going to forgive each other. We're going to start clean. We're going to grow. Enjoy growing together, but we're not looking back.
Yes.
This is what I need from you. We're not looking back. You agree? We're not looking back. We're going to let yesterday die. We're going to let today live in Christ Jesus. Are you good with that? Okay. Do I have anybody else? I honestly feel in my heart like I have one person in here that's not born again and you didn't stand up and raise it. And I feel like you're a lady. You're female. I got one female, I believe, in the room that you're not saved. Would you come up? You know who you are. You've never been born again? Oh, okay. Rededicate. Yeah, but I'm not calling you. You can stand here if you want, but that you're not my girl. You're not my girl. I'm not talking about rededication. I'm talking about you have never given your life to Jesus. You've never been born again. It's strong on me now. See, I'm up and I'm ready to go get you. No, it's a young lady in here. Please don't miss your moment. Like, I'm not saying you'll never be able to have another moment, but why miss your moment now? Please come. I know when I hear this stuff, it's not like I have to backtrack. Oh, you missed it, brother. It's aggressive in me. Okay, but you've been born again. Yeah? You just, see, the way I preach, everybody gets convicted. And it's all good. It's all good, but you've known Jesus.
I know him, but I feel like I've just completely abandoned him.
Oh, my goodness. Come on up here. Let's just make sure you're right today. Maybe that's the passion I'm feeling in my heart, because here's the deal. He longs for you. Like, he longs for relationship. So when you feel like you've lost that and can't have that, that would move his heart like I'm feeling. Hey, okay. Well, it's not true. So he's like, hey. What's your name?
Felicia.
So instead of Adam, he's going, Felicia. And you're going, I'm here, Lord. Amen. You know the best part of that story? He didn't leave him in fig leaves. He clothed him. So you're going to get clothed. Amen. We're going to pray right now. Okay? Together, stretch your hands and pray the best prayer you've ever prayed for every one of these. Say this with me. Say, Father. I come to you today, believing you love me and you're willing to forgive me through the cross of Jesus Christ, through his shed blood. Father, I give my life to you. The best I understand, I surrender. I die to the past. I die to yesterday. I die to every day. And I give myself to live in this new day,
to live in this new day
with you,
because
I believe
you
paid for me because you want me.
Thanks for
forgiving
me.
Thanks for loving
me.
Thanks for saving me.
Thanks for saving me.
Say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you.
I
want you to live in me, lead me, and guide me all the days of my life. Thank you. Amen and amen. Yeah? Amen. Come here, honey. Do you feel like it would be important for you to get baptized? I know. It would be important. Feels right. Okay, would you? All right. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. You shared your heart a little bit. That's why I said I was so proud of you when you walked up here. The fact that you came up was amazing because I haven't even met you. And I'm just thankful and blessed that you came up. Proud of you. And dude, everything's changing for you. Everything. Yeah. Okay, who's going to take them somewhere? Somebody going to take... Hey, go with that man right there. He certainly won't hurt you, I promise. We're late, and I'm sorry, but it's okay. Would you stand to your feet, please? And let's just thank God that he's good. Would you just take a moment and just thank God that he's good? If you feel this in your heart, why don't you just commit yourself like and say, you know what, even if I have what Dan's talking about, I just want it more, Lord. If you haven't had it, there's a lot of conviction in the room. I could have had an altar call. The place would have been packed up here. I don't think that's always necessary. I think your heart's your altar. I think what you do inside your heart, what you do when you leave here, matters way more than what you do when you're here. I'm not against the altar call, but sometimes it's an emotional release. It's a this and that. But man, listen, we're just committing. We're no nonsense today. We're going to live this thing. You spoke to my heart. You're inviting me in, and I see it clear. You want relationship with me, and I want that with you. So, Father, have your way in us. Do a work in us. Shine through us. Love through us, because you surely do love us. And have your way in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Love you guys. Thank you. Do you want to say anything or close? No? I'm just so used to you. Okay. See you. Bless you. Love you. Bye-bye. I don't know how to close. I'll just probably hang out.